All right, I want to open up with a little something fun. Is junior high gone? Junior high gone? Let's shut those doors. We got a little surprise that we only get. Melissa, whoever's helping out with that, we got some brownies. We got some brownies, and Melissa made these killer brownies, and so I want us to hand those out. If you guys can grab those. We don't have enough for everybody. I think we got a couple trays worth, and so... hold up. They're going to be bringing them out in just a second. Who here likes brownies? I'm going to be honest. There is no dessert in this world that is better than a well-made warm brownie and ice cream. Nothing is better than that. It is so... Okay, so how many we got here? Okay, so hold on. How many? 14. We have 14. That's it right now. But if you want one, you have to promise me you won't eat it yet until I tell you you can. Okay? Okay? Can you do that? Ben, I don't trust you. You already told me I'm going to win a carpet bowl. All right. So go ahead. Actually, you can raise your hand or you can come up. You can come up, actually. Let's make it easy. Let's make it easy on the leaders. Go ahead and come on up, and you can't have it. Don't take a lick. If a crumb gets on your finger or something like that, you can't lick it off. That's breaking the rule. All right. There you go. If you left empty-handed, sit by someone who did not. That way you can, so you can't eat it. All right. That's our rule. Thanks so much, Colin. You're a champ. Can we give a hand to Colin? Actually, the whole flipping sound booth. You guys are... Seriously. It is... That's one of those unsung, like, heroes every week. Where if you think about the sound booth, usually it's because something bad happened. Right? So if you talk about something that happened in the sound booth after service, usually it's like, hey, what happened to the sound booth guys when this thing happened or when the lights went wrong? But man, seriously, you see one of them, give them a high five, give them a hug. They need some love. They kill it every week. So we're talking DTR, define the relationship. And I got to be honest, this is something that I've experienced more as I've talked to people about relationships. And who's ever been in a relationship, like a dating relationship, ever, is right now, at some point, anything like that? There you go. So this is something that I've experienced more in this day than I did when my friends were dating when I was in high school and stuff like that. And it is when I walk up to people and I'm like, oh, cool, hey, oh, this is my boyfriend, this is my girlfriend. Okay, nice to meet you. What's your name? There you go. How long y'all been dating? It's complicated. Anybody ever been in that situation? Like, it's complicated. It's kind of like this long, but it wasn't official until like at this point. Guys are especially like that. Girls are like, August 13th at 6:42 p.m. And so that is exactly 5 months, 6 days, 23 and a half hours. And you guys are, so these are just the differences, but the whole it's complicated. So can I just say, like, sometimes you're dating before you ever know or are saying that you're dating. Like, if you're kissing somebody, you're holding their hand, and you're going out on one-on-one dates, but you're like, nah, we ain't dating. You're dating, okay? You're dating. That's where it's like, it's complicated. For example, here's an example of one. Tell me if you're in a relationship, if you come in physical contact with this person on average every 6 minutes. Hold hands on average every 6 minutes. Yes. And then how about they communicate with you at least like 46 times a day. Text message, pictures, Snapchat, DM, whatever it may be. And you spend about 9 hours a day with them. Would you say you are in a relationship? No? Okay. I just want to clarify this. Okay. This is a legitimate relationship that we have, that the average person has with their phones. Okay? Physical contact every 6 minutes. The average person, and this is like all information and stats from like older age groups. And so just like multiply it by 50 for your age group, okay? On average, at least every 6 minutes. In fact, how many times you touch your phone in a day? So you grab it to pull it out every 6 minutes. So that means that we have been here for a little over an hour. That means 10 to 12 times you already would have touched your phone. This is the average. Grabbed your phone out. Just to give you, that's in the most extreme cell phone users, tapping, touching, swiping, whatever it may be, 5,400 times a day. That's once every 10 to 22 seconds, of about every 10 seconds for your like being awake life. This is what average is. I guess that's a little high, but communicates 46 notifications a day. Now, the only stat I could actually find of this was for people who are like between 30 and 45. How many of you guys know a 45-year-old that has a smartphone but doesn't know how to use a smartphone? Yep, there you go. I almost said a fart phone. Very different thing. What I'm seeing in other areas is upwards of 255 notifications a day. Actually, psychologists are saying that this constant notification media thing is actually a severe source of toxic source of stress. And the many teenagers are spending 9+ hours on their phone or technology every day. So this is nuts. This is crazy. And you know, when 50% of teens are saying, I feel addicted to my phone. This is a stat by CNN. 50% of teenagers feel addicted to their phones. You know, we have developed an unhealthy relationship with technology. We've developed, and I'll tell you guys this. We can get that first slide up. We need to have a DTR with our phones. Okay? We need to have a DTR with our phones. Okay? Because we got this. If you were to talk about your relationship with your phone, it's complicated, right? It's complicated. It's one of those relationships. And there's good and there's bad. Like any relationship that you have, there's good and there's bad about it. For example, there's actually children are developing fine motor skills faster than ever. Because they have iPads, they have things, and they are able to, like my kid at the age of 3 was able to get on and like find what YouTube video he wanted to watch on my phone. So I'm like, bro, we got to set boundaries here. Like you got to have a DTR with my phone at 3 years old. What are some of the other, more inclusive and well-rounded. This generation, we are in the information age. And so this generation is less exclusive than any other generation. You are less likely to be racist, homophobic, things like that than any other generation. Because what happens is you are so aware of the world and other people's views and other things that are going on around that, previously, when you didn't have that, you'd grow up around racist people, you would become racist, and that's just how it was. And that's like the culture that you grew up in, and that's what you attached to. And now, you grow up around racist people, you see other people that are like, hey, you know what, this is wrong. And then you go, I see people do that all the time. You have more knowledge, you have more ability, I would say you have more potential to be well-rounded than any generation because of all the knowledge that you have. And so much, there's so much information, it's harder to be wrong about things. How many of you guys know you, anybody solve like weekly an argument over Google? Like, yes, arguments over Google or Siri or like, no, it's like this. All right. Hey, Siri. And then you're like, let's solve this thing right now. And you find the truth. You find the truth. You figure that out. So you are able to connect and stay connected with people all over the world like never before. There's incredible, the technology has given us amazing advances in health, in advances in like social networking, and advances in a lot of different areas. There's so many awareness, compassion, things like that. This generation, I think, is one of the most compassionate generations that I have seen in a long time because of how you care about people. You move and you create movements. There are movements. I say you, I'm included in the same generation. We create movements about like problems, and hashtags literally change the world. As you hashtag Me Too, and as you hashtag things like, and it opens up realms and brings awareness to things that like the Ice Bucket Challenge. I don't know if you guys remember that from way back when. There was like significant medical breakthrough in that area that came directly from the dollars raised from that challenge. Isn't that amazing? It's so cool. This generation, there's so much good that comes from this. But remember, anytime you have something in your hands that's extremely powerful, it can also be extremely dangerous. Yes. Think about the chainsaw and how stupid I was. This is the problem. John 2, 15 through 17 says it really, really well. He says, my bad. Second John. I'll read it from my own. That was totally my fault. Second John, let's pull it up right here. I got the New Living Translation. If you guys got it and got a Bible, go ahead and open it up. There's not a Second John 2. It's got to be First John. I know my... There it is! It's underlined in everything. Look at that. All right. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. This is nuts. When you love the world, you don't even have the love of the Father in you. For the world only offers offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. This is one of the big problems. We create this idol and we develop this relationship with a created thing, something that's actually created by the created things. We used to have a problem with worshiping people, and now we have a problem with worshiping items, things that people have made, and we're getting further and further away from what we were made to do, and that's worshiping not anything created, but worshiping the Creator, God. We, as created, were made to worship the Creator. And so these are some of the problems. Like, if you see all over the place, sex and things like that, are pornography are normalized everywhere. Everywhere. You can't escape it. We're just talking about this last week, even on shows that are geared towards kids. We were talking actually about The Flash. And how Flash, it's so innocent, and then suddenly, Flash and his, don't judge me, I haven't seen it, Flash and his girl, what are the names? Iris and Barry, that's what I was going to say. Then suddenly they're living together. And what it does is this subtle seed that it plants in, this is how you progress in a relationship. And you're supposed to treat it as this like, oh, man, good. Their relationship, they're growing. This is good. They're so cute. Now they live together. Oh, my goodness. And you're supposed to, and these are subtle things that happen all the time. There are movies that we talk about that have, like, references to pornography. And everything about pornography is normal. In fact, there are movies that we've talked about movies that are like, hey, I saw your porn. You need to update your porn collection. That's what you need to. And that's what they said. And it's like this funny line in the movie. And what is it doing? It's saying, one, porn is not only okay, it's actually encouraged. And it's actually something that you need to maintain. Keep up with that. And actually, there's a social maintenance that you need to. And it's these subtle images, messages that we keep getting communicated to us. But one of the things that we see in this media culture, the problems that we have is never in the history of mankind have we had something, a temptation sitting so close, so near to us all the time as we're trying to battle it, and that's in pornography. If you've ever dealt with, I know people that have dealt with heroin addictions. I know people that have dealt with cocaine addictions. I know people that have dealt with this stuff, and they've overcome those addictions before they've overcome their pornography addiction. Why? Because it's like saying, hey, stop using heroin, but I got this needle for you, and you got to hold it in your pocket at all times. That's so hard. And it's like this brownie sitting next to you. It's like, man, when you're hungry and it's always right there, that temptation gets hard, right? And so before I go into pornography too much, I want to give a definition of pornography. Did we get that? Awesome. You rock. Elizabeth, you're killing. So definition of pornography. Pornography is not just nudity. This is what the world is trying to say, that nudity and pornography are two different things. A lot of the trends in the world is saying that nudity is one thing, and that's totally fine. Pornography is like really bad stuff, and that's what the world says. But pornography is, I want to go the opposite direction. Pornography is not only nudity. I have felt I had 7 years addiction to pornography, and what got me into those temptations and those times when I gave in was not a pornographic image. It was something. It was a media or scenario that was intended to induce lust. It was not something that the world defines as pornography. So I would say, by all means, I have seen like, for example, Victoria's Secret commercials, things like that. It's not just a commercial. There are bra and underwear commercials that are like, hey, by the way, you have this. And like JCPenney is like, by the way, there's a bra for sale. It's 50% off. And then Victoria's Secret comes in and is like, you know, right? And it's like, Victoria, you're watching TV and I'm like, I'm sitting there with my wife, and then Victoria's Secret comes on and I'm like, it's done yet? In the mall, I'm the same way. I'll, like, every time we walk by Victoria's with my kids, I'm like, guys, look, a clock. That's so cool. Keep walking in elevators. See that? Wow. Okay, keep walking. And, but this is, pornography is not just, it's not just nudity. It's anything that's meant to inspire lust in us. And I want to give a definition of perverted lust. Lust is something, it's created by the Creator for man and wife to have physical attraction with each other. It's a good thing, but lust is perverted. And this is perverted lust. It is a desire for a falsified version of an unachievable romantic reality. This is what pornography gives. Pornography gives this lust. In fact, I would say specifically this is like pornographic lust. It is this idea where it presents something that's so fake, that's so false. You ask any married couple, and what pornography shows about sex and what sex actually is, they're like two completely different worlds. And this is why people walk into marriage with so many problems and so many issues, because their perception of what it is from all the things that they've experienced in pornography is so much different than what it actually is. And it is, and it's an unachievable romantic reality. This is both physically and emotionally. Ladies, this is the reason I say this is because there is an emotional lust that can be so unhealthy that you put expectations on a man that are never achievable. Because, and I blame it all on Nicholas Sparks. Right? Come on. Yes, and the fellas are like, come on, give me a break. Because these stories, these things, they're emotional pornography. They're things that are like, oh my goodness, I want that. I want to get that. And it's this fantasy, this lack that's actually unachievable. It's this carrot on a stick that you'll never get to because it doesn't exist. And so that's what this is. It and so here's a couple stats about pornography. Today, U.S. porn revenue exceeds the revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC combined. Porn's largest consumer demographic is no longer the 18 to 25-year-old male. It's actually 12 to 17-year-old males and females. That's what they gear for, you guys. The average age of first exposure is 11 years old. 30% of online information is pornographic. Isn't that insane? That blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. Of all the information that is sent on the internet, 30%, think about that, Facebook, Google, everything that you use the internet for, research, email, all, 30% of it is pornographic. This world that this is what we're living in. And so it's no wonder that the world views this as such a normal thing. It's everywhere and they're promoting it. And there's so many different things, but I want to talk about specifically one area of pornography because pornography has evolved. It constantly is evolving. In fact, one of the genres of pornography that is most quickly advancing. So what it was just pornography, and then it went to like homosexual based pornography, and then it went to within the family. Incestual pornography, really popular. That's actually one of the number one kinds right now. And the rising kind that's going to be very normal in the future, bestiality. And that is with animals. This is the perversion that our world is in right now. And it is, in fact, many people are predicting that bestiality and child, like molestation and pornography and things like that, those are going to be viewed as mental preferences instead of illegal actions. This world that we're stepping into is sick. It's twisted. It's wrong. And one of the genres of pornography that is really it's so real is self-distributed pornography, also known as sexting. And it's this, it is what it is for everybody in this room and for all of your friends in high school, it is actual, it's actually distribution of child pornography. You are a minor. Your friends are minors. This makes it child pornography. That's a big deal. This is stuff that not only like local law enforcement just waits until they find out. This is stuff that like FBI seeks out, finds, and comes knocking on someone's door someday and raids their house. And I'm not making this up. I know of it personally. Someone who I know who that happened to. This is, this is Nebraska state law. I'm going to read some Nebraska state law. This is under this sexting, this taking a sexually explicit picture of yourself and sending it out. Any person who is under 19 years of age at the time he or she violates this section shall be guilty of a Class 4 felony for every offense. Any person who is 19 years of age or older at the time he or she violates this section shall be guilty of a Class 2A felony for every offense. And so I talked to some police, some officers about this. And I'm like, okay, so what are the legal implications of this? What? Because it's rampant. It's everywhere. In fact, I don't want to do it, but I would be very interested to see how many of you ladies have ever been requested to send something. So because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So so this is what he said. He says, the officer said, if you send a picture like this, the police find out, law finds out, you will at the very least lose your phone. This is legally. This isn't like mom and dad saying, hey, you're grounded from your phone. You go and grab it out of their sock drawer later and you're fine. Or 2 days later, they're like, ah, you can have it again because you're going to your friend's house. You know, like this isn't like that. This is legally, you're gone, you're out the $700 that you're going to have to pay for a new phone. That's the very least. And be found guilty of a class 4 felony for every picture at the worst. How'd you like to have a felony record before you turn 18? Every job that you apply for, you have to explain that you sent naked pictures of yourself. And you're going to have to trust that that person hiring, especially ladies, that that person's hiring you because of your job qualifications and not because they're hoping you do the same thing. That's dangerous. And can I say, this is, in, here's something else. Ladies, I want you to listen to this one really carefully because this is going to, this hopefully doesn't, but it probably will come in handy. If you coerce someone for a picture like this, you too are guilty of a class 4 felony. So listen to this. Someone who texts you says, hey, send nudes. Send me something more. I want to see more. Things like that. One time, you shut them down. They keep doing that. They're in legal trouble and you can report that. In fact, you should report that. Because I can guarantee you're not the only one this is happening to. And they're that same person's doing it to multiple other people, and they need to be protected as well. You may be able to say, I can stand up for myself. I can defend myself. I can do this. That's not a big deal. I don't know about the other girls. Please, because, and if you're dealing with this, guys or girls, if you've done this, well, actually... what actually happens here is neurologically, when you look at pornography, they've done tests and they're doing MRIs and they're watching guys' brains as they look at this stuff. And they show different pictures and different pictures. And then suddenly they show a pornographic image and then they show different pictures and then they show another one and they see. And what happens is your brain actually responds the same way to pornography as it does to tools, items that you use as a means to an end. So this picture that includes a person no longer lights up the this is a person side of your brain. It lights up a this is an object, this is a thing that will get me to an end that I desire. So what happens if you send a picture of yourself, a sexually explicit picture of yourself, you are demeaning yourself, demeaning and removing your personhood from that person. If you think that this is going to be something that's going to help your relationship, guys say, I've heard this, hey, it's just what I need. It's just what guys do. It's just what we, it's just how we operate. It's just, hey, that guy is operating on the intellectual level of an animal. Okay? Don't listen to him. In fact, if you ever hear that, get the heck away from that guy and don't communicate with him again. Okay? Seriously. And guys, if you ever catch yourself thinking or acting or saying that, you better man up. Men don't live without self-control. Men live as guys who honor. Men live as someone who can make himself do or not do anything because we are strong. We are mentally strong. We are leaders. We are created for that. Not to just follow whatever the heck we feel like, okay? That's sick. That's the most immature thing I find, and the thing that bugs me the most about this generation, how instinctual and animalistic guys have become, and they've embraced it. So ladies, if you get a guy, and I'll say this to everybody, if you get someone who is asking this of you, and you're like, man, I'm wondering about this in this relationship. I'm wondering if it's actually something that they need. I wonder if it's actually the next step. Man, he seems so nice. And then he's asking for this. And so it must be a genuine thing that he actually wants. And what you're doing is you will make yourself no longer become a person. And that's why in marriage you hold this off till marriage, because otherwise you become, neurologically, psychologically speaking, you become an object, a means to an end, a thing to explore, a thing to experiment with, until suddenly you see something else that is more entertaining, that's new. I haven't seen that yet before. I don't know what that looks like. I'm going to DM and figure this out. Why? Because it's a means to an end. If I'm fixing my car, I don't care if I have to use a socket wrench or pliers to get this bolt out. I'm going to use what I have to use. People aren't like that. Okay? Here's another, this problem with pornography and with sexting, and it's sick and it's wrong. And, the hardest part about it is it's always right here. It's a step away. It's in your pocket. You may have a notification on your phone from someone that you don't have a healthy relationship with right now. This world is created to, these apps are created to create this separation in you so that you lose yourself. And so this is, it's a lot like this brownie that's just sitting right next to you for some of you guys, or sitting on your lap. And I don't know about you guys, I'm hungry. And I ate 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago. So, but I'm still hungry. And if you're hungry and you got a brownie sitting right next to you, how many guys have looked down at that brownie and in this time at some point and been like, that looks good. I can't wait to eat it. And wait, just waiting for permission to eat that brownie. Okay. So at some point, you can hold the brownie. Everybody hold the brownie. Everybody grab, if you got your brownie, you can hold it. And at some point, this temptation is just right there. It's just right there at all times. And you can smell it. And it's just like, it's right there. This problem has been sitting in your pocket. Then suddenly, you're by yourself. No one's looking. You grab a bite. You guys can go ahead and eat the brownie. This is what sin is like. This is what sin and temptation is like. You get this, you get this brownie, you get this thing, this item, this object that looks so good, right? It looks so good. And when you bite into it, how's it taste? How's it taste? It looks so good. Didn't it smell good? Okay, so we sabotage the brownies. They're laced with salt. And they're not good. They are not good at all. Anybody like, you look like you were not having a good time. You don't have to keep eating it. You don't have to keep eating it. You don't think, y'all are Canadian. That doesn't even count. You can eat it if you want to, and I will judge you hardcore. So listen up here, though. Listen up here, though. We got, sin is a lot like that. Can I get someone's brownie that they don't want it? Jeez. All right. Y'all throwing it away. You got this brownie. You got this sin. You get this brownie, and it looks so good, right? There is nothing as good as a warm brownie and ice cream. And, it smells good. It looks good. It's everything that I want. I want this brownie. I literally just smelled it, and my stomach started rumbling. Like, I should have brought my mic down to my stomach. You probably could have heard it. It's everything about it looks amazing, but this is what Job says about sin. Let me see. Pull it up. There you go. Job 20. Let's pull that up. Job 20, verses 12 through 14. We can get that on the screens. It says, and keep this in mind, this brownie in mind. It says, though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue, though he cannot bear to let it go and lets it linger in his mouth, yet his food will turn sour in his stomach. It will become the venom of serpents with him. It's talking about this sin, this lust. It's this thing of like, it looks good. I'm gonna devour this thing. And even at first, what I loved about this is y'all are like, and like, cause it was good right away, right? Like the first bite, it was like, this is good. And yeah, no, JD was my favorite who ate it earlier. And he was like, this is good. This is good. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. he just like the switch flipped. Anyway. So what's going on is sin does this, and it creates this spiral and this circle of this downward spiral that pornography and sexual sin does to us. And this is actually from what is this one from? Fightthenewdrug.com. This is interesting. Fightthenewdrug.com is a secular website that recognizes the very same thing that the Bible's been saying the whole time. This is not a new trend. This actually happens all the time in science, all the time. But they're like, porn is really bad for you. And so they created this movement called Fight the New Drug. This is what it says. Although porn use promises to help users relax and relieve their stress, I had a friend who said, how in the world what do you fall back on when life sucks? He's like, what do you do? When that happens, because that's what I go to. What else? And I was like so stunned by it. And I was in seventh grade. I didn't know what to do. And I was dealing with it at the time, actually. So I didn't know what to say because that is what I went to. And it said, users use it to relax and relieve their stress. A growing number of studies find that porn use is actually linked to poor mental health outcomes. Porn not only hurts relationships and leaves users feeling lonely, but also makes them more vulnerable to emotional and psychological problems. For both male and female porn users, their habit is often accompanied by problems with anxiety, body image issues, poor self-image, relationship problems, insecurity, and yes, depression. In fact, as we look at, there's this, CNN ran this article a couple years ago called The Demise of Guys, and it's this focus on guys, but it's really this whole generation that is doing so poorly in all these areas of school, of education, physical health, in relationships, and being able to be emotionally healthy, all these things. And it's all related. The root of it all finds itself in two places. Finds itself in pornography and video games. Why? Because pornography rots you from the inside out. It literally rewires your brain. It rewires how you think. And this is what happens. So porn, it's proven Porn destroys marital sex. So what every person who wants to get married wants, you want to have good sex when you're married, right? If you want to have good sex when you're married, you need to stop looking at porn now. Every person I know who has had a porn problem when they were younger or while they were married, it destroyed the actual thing for them. They fantasize about sex and they can't actually have anything to do with it themselves. It's crazy how it distorts your brain. Why? Because you become connected to a screen, to a computer, to a video instead of a person. And the way your brain is wired, it rots you. Porn literally makes you depressed. Social psychologist Jean Twenge says the evidence leaking the problem to smartphones could not be clearer to linking it to depression. Surveys have found that spending more time on social media and other screen activities correlates strongly with lower levels of happiness and higher feelings of loneliness, levels of depression, and risk of suicide. We're stepping outside of what we're made to be. We're stepping outside of this problem. In fact, if we go back to Out from Darkness, if you're dealing with this, this is one really great way to step out from darkness. It's this practical, and it's not only pornography, it's just technology. If you reduce your time on technology to 2 hours a day, you significantly reduce your chances of depression and suicide. It's crazy. This is just statistically what happens. Here's another thing. Another fact, porn makes you stupid. German researchers found that there's a correlation between the number of hours of pornography someone uses each week and less gray matter in their brains. That's your ability to think. Isn't that nuts? Literally, if you want to have a brain in the future. But this is the last thing. Porn kills you. What happens is it kills you on the inside. Why? Because in this world, we have learned to create a dichotomy. It's two opposing things that have to exist together. And this is what happens because I've seen this countless times. I've seen youth walk up to me and I get to know them and they can't make eye contact. They're socially awkward. They don't know how to converse. They don't know how to communicate feelings or emotions or how to, and then I contact them and I see them on social media and they are the funniest, nicest, and most exuberant person that I've ever seen. And their pictures look amazing and everything about them is like, wow, they're really cool. I want to get to know that person. But the person I met, I have no clue who they even are. And yet they have their real account who there's someone else online and then there's someone else in reality. And then they also have their spam account who there's someone completely different as well. And they distort themselves. And what happens is your brain literally develops different identities in different places and you develop this dichotomy. And it's just like anytime that you take someone, if you were to take a person and to cut them in half, they die. You can't live like that. You can't live separated and broken apart because pretty soon those two lives will collide. And how what happens over here, you're still you. How you act over here, though, a couple times, you may be able to get away with it and you feel like it doesn't impact you over here and you have no clue all the junk that's feeding into who you are. That's why out of those three realities of people that I've seen, in one person, the one that looked closest to death and looked least like life was actually their actual person. So we can have the band come up real quick. This is rewiring of your brain that happens, and what it happens, it looks a lot like sound booth, like some wagon trail ruts. And what this is, Oregon Trail. You guys study Oregon Trail at all? And you got these caravans that would go across, and you still, this is to this day, you see these paths that these ruts would create, these caravans would create, and all these wheels walking, driving, and rolling over this land would create this path that is still there, but it wouldn't just create it. It actually would, next picture, would start to create divots. If you see that in the road, it actually starts to wear down the road, and this is how your brain works. Neurons create paths in your brain, and when your brain receives information, it follows these paths to come to outcomes. Okay, and so your brain starts, pornography makes your brain bring these paths when it sees a person, a pornographic image of a person, it brings it to a sexual related item, and it creates this stimuli for that. And over and over and over and over of doing this, what happens is it starts to include more and more things, to when I see people, now I get that same, and now I stop seeing people as people, I see people as things. I see people as opportunities. I see people as objects. I see people as a means to an end. And it begins to create this rut in this road. In the next one, you see it actually, they literally, these wagon wheels would cut through rock. It's crazy. These wooden wheels over and over and over would start creating these paths that could cut through rock and create this rut. And the way, actually, what learning is, it's when you have a path, you either create a new path or you jump off your old path. And if you are going to change the way you think about something, you have to learn to jump off the old path. And it's a lot easier to do at the beginning. And this comes from Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You go, I can't hear God. It's because you got to change the way you think, your paths. You're literally, your neurons are taking the wrong path. And so you see in this, actually in the next pictures that you see these ruts that you get in and you start developing this. And over years and years, it cuts deeper and deeper paths. In the next picture, you see it creates this path that's almost impossible to get out of. Because for years you've trained your brain to think a different way, and now your brain does think a different way. And when you look at someone, this is how marriages fall apart. Marriages where the guy can't stop his addiction to pornography. It didn't start then. It started when he was 13, 14, 15, 16, and his path, he didn't choose to come off. And out when it was easier, he got stuck. And this is what happens. But renewing your mind is not something that comes on your own. In fact, how does the Bible say you renew your mind? This is why I include verse 1 in here. It says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now keep this in mind. Offer your bodies. Think about this. This is, what are you offering your body to? What are you offering your body to? Sexual sin is not just a sin against someone or something. It's a sin against self, your body, your temple. What are you offering your body to? Don't conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind by surrender to Jesus. And there, if you can all stand up, there are people in here, and there are those of you who, whether it's pornography, whether it's sexting, whatever it is, I just got to say, guys, sin is terrible. Sin is rotten. Sin is wrong. Pornography, sexting, all that stuff is wrong. But the temptation and the sin itself, it's not rare. It's not unique by any means. Even among women. I could list off names of women that I know who said, I have overcome an addiction to pornography. I know them. It happens. It's all the time. Oftentimes it's this guy's problem thing. It's not a girl's. It's a girl's problem. It's a guy's problem. It's a sin problem. Okay? And this is something that if you go, man, I'm creating the wrong paths in my mind, how I'm thinking, how I'm doing this. I got a couple different things, and these are I want to get real practical here, okay? I want us to come up and I want us to pray together. And I also want for us to develop and to start accountability. And that starts this Sunday in small groups. Okay? This is not the type of thing, never have I ever seen someone overcome a pornographic addiction on their own. I've never heard of it, never seen it. I believe it's impossible, because Ecclesiastes 4 says, do things in pairs, find accountability with someone else, and a cord of three strands, you, your accountability partners, and God can overcome those things. This is how it happens. So what I'm going to do, we're all going to close our eyes and we're all going to pray. And our leaders, go ahead and come forward. And we're just going to end in prayer. And we're going to hang out here. And if you need prayer, hang out, find a leader. I also have never seen someone overcome this because of being caught only by confessing. If you want victory, you must confess. Don't wait till you're caught. In my addiction, I was caught 2 times. That didn't stop it. It wasn't until I confessed that I actually broke through. God, right now, I pray for each person in this room that's dealing with this. And if you're dealing with this, whether it's pornography, whether it's sexting, whether it's just boundaries, whether it's just lust in general, it doesn't matter what it is. If you go, man, I need to renew my mind. I need to change the paths that I'm creating. I need to define my relationship with my phone and stop this stuff, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because they're probably dealing with the same thing, but they're not bold enough to come up and actually see breakthrough in their life. They're not going to be the ones to see breakthrough. During this prayer, I want you guys to see breakthrough. If you're dealing with this, whatever it is, to whatever level, deep, shallow, whatever level, I want you to come up and I want you to see breakthrough. Jesus, I call that you have powerful breakthrough in this place. And that there are those in this room who are ready to make a change. Ready to make a change and to start getting out of the ruts that they're creating in their minds. And living differently. Thank you, Jesus. What we're going to do right now, we're going to worship and we're going to hang out here. And we're just going to sing one song. We're going to close right here. But this is... Leaders, if you want to go to the sides, if you want to go around, this is something, man, shame is of Satan, okay? Shame's of Satan. Statistically speaking, we have percentage, like, we have probably, if we have 50 people in here, we're probably 40 dealing with this right now. Like, it's just, it's a reality. Shame is of the enemy. Leaders, go ahead and spread around. Go and find yourself a leader. Find yourself a friend. And there's 2 different things that I want you to look for in this next week. An accountability partner, an accountability mentor. Someone who's with you, who can battle with you, and someone who is ahead of you that's already overcome it, that can help lead you through to victory. And we're just going to hang out here and worship. And sometime today, before we close here, I want you guys to find someone, a leader. Scoot in more, leaders. Scoot in close. Hang out close to the students. But this is going to be something. There's no shame. There's just victory. There's just breakthrough.